Speaker Brother Monty is going to bring us the message.
Good morning. Good morning to everyone. It's a pleasure to be in the house of God once again. It's always great to see how God is blessing his people when they're faithful. This is a beautiful church. You know, I was secretly stalking y'all when I heard that y'all was moving to the new church. So I remember when our family moved here, we was going out of town and we saw the sign out there. And we moved here in 98. And I remember seeing the signs then. And I'm a firm believer that if you remain faithful to God, amen, his timing is always better than ours. Amen. And I know some of y'all might have wanted to move back then, but there was a particular reason why you didn't. But in all things, give God thanks for his blessings, his love, and his mercy. All right, let's get to the word. I'm going to read two different versions from what you heard earlier. I believe she read from the New King James Version. I'm going to read from the New Living the New International Version and the Clear Word, because it has different language that I want us to grasp with this subject. And I will read in your hearing. The New International Version says, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength." The clear word says, "I rejoice in my union with the Lord, but your renewed love and care for me has added to my joy. I'm not saying that you didn't care for me before, but you never had the opportunity to show it as much as you do now. I'm not saying this because I need anything from you. Over the years, I've learned to be content with whatever I have and to live with the circumstances in which I find myself. I know from experience what it's like to be in extreme need and also what it's like to have more than I need. I have learned the secret of being happy wherever I am, whether I am hungry or well-fed, whether I have little or much. I can do anything through Christ who gives me strength." The title for the day is "You Can Handle This." You can handle this. Shall we pray? Lord, it's your time once again. Lord, I ask that you allow these saints to see your divinity through my humanity. Help them to be able to see you high and lifted up. Help me to be able to decrease my wants, my needs, my ideas, and ensure that I uplift you. Lord, I thank you for my family that were able to come with me. I'm thankful for my family who came to hear your word, and I'm grateful for my Aiken Seventh-day Adventist family who extended the privilege for me to share this word that you've given to me. Now, Lord, let your word be glorified. May these saints be blessed, and let the devil be horrified. In your name we pray. Amen. As I begin, I would like for you to think about a TV show or some situation that you've been in before where you've either seen it or you've seen someone else go through it, and it had you sit there wondering, how in the world did they make it through? You know, for me, I can think of times when I'm on my deployment, traveling and convoying and going place to place to ensure that other soldiers are taken care of. You see, when I was in the military, I was a chaplain assistant. And one of my responsibilities was to ensure that other soldiers, other civilians, were able to worship God in their own way. What that meant for me is, if you was Catholic, I was responsible to ensure that you was able to get to a priest. if you was Islamic, if you was Muslim, I was responsible to ensure that you was able to talk to an imam or to someone that had that ability to converse with you on your religious, in your religious faith. If you was Baptist, Pentecostal, Seventh-day Adventist, it didn't matter. My responsibility was to ensure that you had ample opportunity and space to serve and worship the person or thing that you believed in. Now, I did not agree with all the denomination, but that was not my responsibility. My responsibility was to ensure that they met the needs that needed to be met. But I remember this one time we was on a convoy and we knew that it was a 97% chance that we was going to get attacked. We knew this, and my chaplain and I talked and like, do we want to put ourselves in unnecessary danger like this? And I told him, well, I think that we should, because it's not about us. If we believe that the God that we serve is able to protect us, then we need to go ahead and do what we need to do. A lot of people in our unit thought we was crazy. A lot of people in our unit thought that we had lost our mind. But I rest on the fact that we were doing God's business. We was ensuring that others had the opportunity to worship their God. So I believe that wherever we go, that God will be with us. And beloved, I'm here now to let you know that he was with us. But in this moment, we did this convoy, and in the convoy, we actually got attacked. Now, we didn't see them. We really didn't know they were there where we got attacked at. We was anticipating them that they was going to be a little bit further down the road, but just like the enemy, he realizes what we do, and he just so that he can attack us and come onto us in a surprising manner. Well, in the middle of this attack, we had to dismount from our vehicle. And when we dismount from our vehicle, my responsibility now shifts to ensure that my chaplain is taken care of, because my chaplain do not have a weapon, so I am his weapon. So I grab my chaplain, I hide behind the Humvee to ensure that he's safe and that I'm safe. But in the same way, I'm also protecting the people that's with us. We're behind the Humvee, we was in the last vehicle, and I didn't look around and I didn't notice that a guy who had on a suicide vest was running towards us. I didn't know what was going on because I was looking in front of us. And the next thing I know, I hear a guy stumble. I turn around and I see the guy get up, hold up his hand, and click the button. And it was almost like a movie where when he clicked the button, everything went into slow motion. And I'm thinking, like, I'm not going to make it home. I failed my job in protecting my chaplain and the people that I was sworn to protect. Lord, I need you right now. And as everything is moving slowly, I can remember him clicking it multiple times, and nothing's happening. He's walking towards us, clicking the button, and nothing's happening. And at that moment, flight. Not flight like go away, but flight towards him, then fight to ensure that my people were safe. So I go towards him and I dismounted him from the vest. Now, all the while not knowing if this thing is still active. And I grab it and I tossed it. And the moment it hit the ground, it went off. The only thing that happened to me is I got knocked out. Now, I haven't told people this story because I didn't want them to think too much about it. I only want them to think about, I wanted, if I did share it, I wanted them to think about what God did. But the thing that I remember the most is when we went back to the base, we got to where we need to be. And my chaplain was so mad with me. He was like, why did you do some foolishness like that? Why would you put yourself in danger like that? And I honestly sat there and was like, I really don't know. It was instinct. The commanders heard about it, and they sat there, they shook their head in disbelief, and like, I can't believe that you did that. And it simply leads you to wonder that they sat there looking at what I did, scratching their head, wondering, why in the world did he do that? But beloved, there's people in the Bible that you can also shake your head and scratch your head and wonder, how did they do that? Consider Noah when he was told to build the ark. And they never heard of rain. But he followed what God told him to do. And at the end, can you just see the people looking at him thinking like, what is he doing? What is that, a boat? What is a boat? We never heard of water coming from the sky. What is he doing? Consider Jacob when he put the idea of every spot and speckled goat and sheep is mine. And I can just see Laban looking at him like, how is he doing that? How is he able to multiply his cattle but not mine? Or consider the Israelites, where their enemies are looking to see how every time they are stuck into a situation that God has come in to protect them. But beloved, let's get a little bit closer. Some of y'all have gone through an insurmountable amount of problems. Problems with your health, problem with your job, issue with family members. A lot of y'all yourself have gone through something where the people around you are sitting there shaking their head wondering, how did they make it through? Well, I like us to look at the life in this specific story with Paul. You see, the context of this story, Paul is currently in jail. We're not sure exactly what he did to get in jail at this moment, but all we know is he's in jail. In this time, he's writing to one of the churches he found in Philippi, and he's thanking them for the gifts that they sent to him. But understand that at that time, the people believed that they were supposed to support the preacher. They were supposed to support the man of God. So the people blessed him, whether it was a house to live in, whether it was food, whether it was money, they blessed him. But for some reason, it got to a point where they was not able to give to him anymore. And Paul is writing them that for some reason, they had started up giving to him again. So as most of us should do when someone do something nice for us, we should thank them. Paul is thanking them, saying to them, I understand that you blessed me before, and at some point you stopped, but I still thank you for what you're doing right now. And in this context, he said, even though I don't need it, I still appreciate it. Even though during this time of want, I learned to be content with God. And because I learned to be content with God, I have learned that I can do all things through Christ because he gives me strength. Now, beloved, I love that scripture, but what I often find out is we don't use the scripture like it should be used. For some reason, sometimes we think that when we say this scripture that, oh, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. We just think that God is going to give us this supernatural power or the supernatural ability to do whatever we want, but that's not what Paul was talking about. Paul was saying that because he learned to be content, in his contentment, he learned that God will come through and supply every need that you need. And because of that, he can do all things because Christ is the one that gives him strength. But there's a problem that I realized in this message. There's a problem that I realize in this scripture. Sometimes we see a word and we think we know what the word means, and we go through thinking that we understand the understanding of what they're saying. But beloved, content. Paul said, I have learned to be content. And what I found out is a lot of people thought or think that content means that they get that confused with complacency or settling. For instance, I remember going to a restaurant in Fayetteville, and I remember I ordered a specific thing, and Miss Marlowe is my witness. They brought me back the plate, and they actually got my meal wrong, and I didn't realize it was wrong, and I started to eat. Miss Marlowe was like, you know you got the wrong food, right? I said, no, I didn't. But I'm gonna continue to eat because I'm going to settle for what I got, because even though I didn't want it, I got what I got. Sometimes we think that being content means complacency or settling, like I'm just going to settle for what I got. But what Paul is saying, when the original language was referring to being self-sufficient. Content is in the sense of being satisfied because you are living in God's fullness. This is speaking of an internal sufficiency, and it's a feeling that it should be valid whether you're going through a low period of time or it's a feeling you should go through when you're going through a high period of time. This idea of sufficiency within occurs only once in the entire Bible in this language, and is found here in Philippians 4:11. And it refers to a positive self-sufficiency, which is entirely produced by God. This contentment can only be produced by God. So the second thing is, while Paul is writing this letter, he is currently incarcerated. He's incarcerated in a first century prison system. And the problem we sometimes think is, we think of the prison system here, where they get provided a place to live. It may not be great, but they got a place to lay their head down. They get fed. They're protected. But back then, that's not what the prison system looked like. The prison system there was, they didn't really have a law that said if you do wrong, you will go to prison. What they had was a prison system that you would go if you was going to be executed or you were scheduled to die. So if you was already lined up to die, why would they need to take care of you? So Paul was in a place where sometimes you can get forget about. He was in a place where even though he was protected in a sense, he wasn't cared for. Paul was writing about being content while he was going through trouble. In essence, Paul is in the midst of trouble, writing to them, talking about how to endure trouble. How many of you are able to talk about trouble while you're enduring trouble? How many of you are able to show and shed light about Christ and what he's doing in your life while you're going through the midst of trouble? I feel like this is important. And as I'm reading it, I'm coming to a point where, what's the point of this message? I love Tim Tebow. I love him. He's a great football player in college. I don't know what he's doing in the NFL because we haven't heard nothing about him. But he had this tendency to put on like these little band-aid thing under his eye, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. And he will tell you, I'm doing what I'm doing because Christ has given me strength. I can will my team through a victory because God has given me strength. I can do anything that God allows me to do because he's given me strength to do it. But what I would like to suggest to you is that the actual meaning of what Paul is writing and what God wants us to take from this is that, how can God help me to endure hardship? How can God help me to endure hardship? Because honestly, brothers and sisters, this is something that we will always have a lesson on for the rest of our lives. If you are a follower of Christ, you will receive hardship. It's in the book. It happens to us. So what I took is that God is trying to reveal to us how to endure hardship. So how does God help us endure hardship? Number one, God helps us endure hardship by putting humans in the right positions. In verse 10 and 11, we see that while Paul was in prison, the people provided for him food, shelter, clothes. Once again, something that he was receiving before from these people that had been cut off, it had regenerated. It had started again. And Paul was thanking them for their gifts. God put these people in Paul's life to give him something in the midst of hardship. How can you receive this? I remember when we was in Florida, and Florida is known for hurricanes. And while they give you ideas of what you should have for emergency equipment, I remember that our family had this radio, and the radio had you could plug into the wall and receive power from the wall. But in the case the power went out, it also had a place where there were batteries in the radio as well, so that if you lost power from the external source, the wall, the power internally can cause the radio to continue to work. Well, what it tells me is the source of power that we have in ourselves, it needs to be sufficient. That sometimes the external power from the outside world, our churches, our family, our friends. Sometimes those powers will run out. So when those powers run out, you have to have batteries inside you, your spiritual batteries that will allow you to be able to connect with Christ. What I will suggest to you is the batteries you should get are C batteries, crisis batteries. Whenever your power runs out from the external sources, look within and receive the power that God gives to you. But also, the second thing that God does in helping us endure hardship is he helps us endure hardship by helping us to learn to trust in the process. This is a process that Paul was going through. Paul's life reminds me of a roller coaster, a lot of ups and a lot of downs. And as I think about it, I think about an actual roller coaster. Now, friends, I hate roller coasters. They're just uncomfortable for me. But my wife and my older son, we're trying to figure out about Michael. But Josh and Daniela, they love roller coasters. And I had to sit back one time and realize what they do on the roller coasters. But if they straggle me on there and someone took a picture, you'll see me like this with my eyes closed up. You see me tensing up because I don't want to see where we're going. I don't want to watch everything. But Daniela and Josh, they have their eyes open where they're experiencing the whole ride. They have their hands up because they're enjoying the ups and the downs in life. And what this reminds me of is how we in the Christian life should experience our life. Because if you are a follower of God, your life also will be a roller coaster. So why is it that we can't ride the roller coaster? Because another thing about the roller coaster is most people don't enjoy the roller coaster simply because they enjoy the roller coasters. They enjoy the roller coasters because they have faith in the conductor. And where they're going to take them, where you're going to start off and where you're going to finish. The person who is managing the train or managing the roller coaster, you have faith that he's going to do his job. And beloved, some of us can't enjoy the roller coasters of life because we simply don't trust that God is doing what he said he's going to do. Some people can get on the roller coasters of life. They can throw their hands up and worship God. They can open their eyes and experience the whole ride because they believe and they trust that the conductor, who is Jesus Christ, who's conducting your life, has total control. So it doesn't matter if we stop dangling it upside down. It doesn't matter that in the middle of the roller coaster, you stop and you hit reverse and you go backwards. It doesn't matter that you're going 120 miles per hour in this roller coaster because, beloved, at the end of the day, you know God got his hand on the wheel. You know God is behind the controls, and you know he got your back. So now we should leave here ready for the roller coasters of life. But we look at that, and we wonder, why can't we actually embrace the process? Why can't we embrace the people that God puts into our life? The third thing is we can't understand A and B until we understand C. C is God helps us endure hardship because he wants to remind us that he's senior partner. Now, what this means is that God leads our life. If God has put people into your life to bless you, if God is the conductor of your roller coaster, then C should be very easy. But the problem is, too many times in life when we face hardship, we don't look to God. We look to all external powers to help us with something that should be internal. You know, what helped me think about this is, I had to learn that, between Daniela and I, her macaroni and cheese is a lot better than mine. I have to embrace that. And I remember one time I followed her into the store to see how she makes her macaroni and cheese so much better than me. And I remember that she went and got different ingredients. She got the noodles and the eggs and the milk. And the milk is specific. It has to be carnation milk. It has to be. But all the time before, when I wanted to make macaroni and cheese, I went to a different aisle. And the aisle that I went to, it had a box. And all it said was to add water. Right? Her macaroni was made in love because it was all from scratch. She created everything from the ingredients, but I went and did this, or thought I was doing something good, but I got the box macaroni and it just said, just add water. But what I feel is interesting about that is some people look at it in the same light when it comes to Jesus. I can't make macaroni taste like the way she makes it because she goes through a different process. But the process that I wanted to use, it's a shortcut, yeah. So as I'm reading this, as I'm reading this, something just popped to my mind that there's a lot of situations in life that we look at in the box macaroni style. You know, if I wanted to make a pound cake, I don't know how to make it, so I'm going to go get the box where everything is in it. All the ingredients are in the box that all I got to do is just add water. Well, beloved, there's a lot of problems in our life. There's a lot of situations in our life. But if we just add water, the object that comes out will be to our delight. But what I think about is, when anytime I go through a problem of life, when the devil's on my back, when problems are coming up, if I just add the living water, the object or the thing that comes out of it will still be to my delight. There's a lot of people in the Bible and a lot of circumstances in the Bible that we look at if you just add water idea. When the Israelites came to the Red Sea, they were trapped. Pharaoh and his armies was behind him and the sea was in front of him. But when you add water, God came in and opened up the Red Sea, provided a way for them and destroyed their enemy. I think about the Israelites when they came into Jericho. They saw an insurmountable wall, and a lot of us go through walls of Jericho's in our life where it seems impossible for these walls to be torn down. But when they went to the wall, you injected the living water, the walls came tumbling down. But look, there's a lot of things in our life that we face where we think that we are in trouble. But if you allow the senior partner, the living water, to be added to your life, your life will be changed. The thing that comes from that will be to your delight. Don't you want God to come help you out when you're in trouble? Don't you want God to come answer your prayers when you pray them? Don't you want God to be injected into your life on a day-to-day basis? Paul is simply telling us that he's reminding us that you have to trust God as being your senior partner. And the thing is, when you trust God for being your senior partner, you can trust that the people that he puts in your life are there to help you. And also, it will allow you to understand the process of the up and down. But this is still I still didn't fully embrace this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, I wasn't completely honest with what I told you when I went back to my command. So when I went back, they asked me, we're wondering if we need to have you talk to a counselor because you put yourself in grave danger. You put yourself and your convoy in a serious situation. And the chaplain and I were talking, and he said, he's like, New Bill, listen, they really think you're crazy that you did something like that. Come on, just talk to me. What was the purpose? And I remember telling him, I was like, listen, a couple of days ago, a good friend of mine died. Now, he wasn't in our unit. No one knew about it because I kept it to myself. And it was a National Guard unit where in the Army National Guard, a lot of times families deploy. So I went to the funeral or the memorial service that we had downrange. And I remember talking to his mother. And his mother said, "There's something about you, Monty, that I really respect. And I want you to, the same way you took care of my son," because he shared different things that you did for him, "the same way you took care of my son, I want you to take care of your unit. Because what my son never knew is his biological father is your sergeant major." And I was like, "Huh?" And she started to explain the dynamics of this situation. And I was like, "Okay, I promise you, I will do anything that I can to ensure that he's protected." So whenever he wanted to go out on a convoy and go places, I strategically went to the sergeant major and was like, "Listen, whenever you go, make sure the chaplain and I are with you. Because when you go somewhere, you want to make sure you have the man of God with you as well." And he was like, "You know, Newbill, that's right. That's right. I want the chaplain to always be there, so we're going to do that." Well, in this convoy, the sergeant major was in my vehicle. And not only did I go pull the chaplain, but I also pulled the sergeant major behind the Humvee as well. And when I saw that person coming, clicking the button, the only thing that I could remember was I made a promise that I was going to protect the sergeant major. I made a promise that I was going to protect everyone that I could in my unit. And without thinking, I went to go protect my unit. And the chaplain was with tears in his eyes like, "Why didn't you share that with us? Why?" And I was like, "Because I know that there's nothing that y'all can do to give me strength to be able to protect this unit. I know that this strength comes from something greater than you and me together." And I can remember thinking to myself, "Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to protect me. I need you to cover me and everyone in this convoy." And I really believe because I put my strength in him, that he was able to come through and protect us. A lot of times we get this confused where we focus on the I part of that and not focus on in him. I can do all things through him because he gives me strength. We sometimes think that I can do it because God is going to bless me. And howbeit that is true, the source of what you want is not resembling God-like. It's not a God-like resemblance. It's not a God or Christ-like mentality. We want to have strength because we want people to see what we are doing. But in this, Paul is reminding us that in order for us to truly endure hardship, we have to rest that God is in control. I think about the story and how Christ came to earth to keep a promise. He came to earth to keep a promise so that we had the right to go back with him to heaven. And all I want you to do is no special altar call, ain't no special, recommit your life. All I'm going to ask you to do is if you're willing to let God lead you, if you're willing to add the living water to any hardship that you go through in life, if you're willing to keep your eyes open on the life's roller coasters and throw your hands up in praise and worship what God is doing for you in your life, if you're willing to respect the people that God puts into your life to help you when you need it, to stand to your feet. And what we'll do is we'll sing one verse of "He Leadeth Me." I think it's 527. Oh, 537. And as we begin to read, I want you just to look over the first verse and the chorus. As you're looking over, I'm going to read it. "He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught, whatever I do, whatever I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me. By his own hand, he leadeth me. His faithful follower, I want to be. For by his hand, he leadeth me. What I do not see in this song is I lead myself. I don't see that I control what happens in my life. But what I see is God's leading in our life. And just simply, do you want God to lead you? The sermon title was, You Can Handle This. The truth is, you can't. It's God that handles it. Amen. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that as we leave this place that we allow you to lead our lives. Help us to discard and put away any selfish mentalities, thoughts that we have that we know better than you do. Lord, help us to take the idea that Paul was writing about hardship while enduring hardship himself. Help us to be like Paul, where we go out, and even though we may be going through hardship, because we trust in you, because we trust the process, and because we believe in the people you put around us, that we're able to go out and bless and help others, even while we're going and in the midst of our own trials. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and prepare us for the kingdom even now. In your name we pray. Amen.